This is Y Nada Más. A Real Madrid Podcast.
Right. Hello, everybody, and welcome once again to Y Nada Más, a Real Madrid podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera, and this is the podcast for all things Real Madrid, as you guys know very well. Well, what is there to talk about? So the summer is coming to an end, and there's still not a lot of resolution for us Madridistas. There's a lot of things out there in the ether, as they say, or out there sort of being talked about. Obviously, I think at this point, many of us Madridistas have to make amends or realize that we're not going to get any signings this summer other than Kylian Mbappe, if that does end up happening. It seems like everything that we're hearing in the media, everything that we're hearing in the media is essentially that the only signing Florentino and the board of Real Madrid are interested in making is Kylian Mbappe. That's the only thing that they're interested in. There is nothing else going on. But before we get into all that stuff, let me just give you, obviously, look, this is the third episode of the podcast that will be, not the third episode of the podcast, this is like the 37th episode of the podcast, but if you're just starting to listen to us, guys, and listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, iHeartRadio app, wherever you're listening to us from, this is the third episode that we're doing in video form. So aside from the audio that you're listening to right now, if you are interested in a video podcast, if that's how you like to consume podcasts, you can check us out on YouTube. Look us up at Y Nada Más Podcast. You can find us on YouTube. Really, the only two videos right now that I have up there, or three videos that we have up there, are essentially the last two podcasts and the intro, the video intro that I created for the podcast. But that's really it. So the idea is to continue doing video podcasts. We think that that's another way to reach out to you guys and to have another way of reaching out to fans and to get supporters or whatnot. And I always like to say this podcast is definitely it's kind of my labor of love. I've always been a football fan, and I've always been a Real Madrid fan. So it's something that I put together and with a couple of friends. And you can see, I am a Madridista at heart. I absolutely love the team. And this is the podcast for you guys. It's for the fans. It's for you guys to listen and just enjoy me rambling about it. You might disagree, you might agree. And if you do disagree or you agree, hit me up on Twitter. You can see it there. If you're listening, if you're watching on the YouTube, you're watching on the YouTube. I sound like a boomer. If you're listening to the podcast or watching it via YouTube, you can see there on the ticker that you can follow us on Twitter at Y Nada Más Podcast, on Facebook at Y Nada Más Podcast, and on Instagram at YNM Podcast. You can reach me through either of those, but I'm most active on Twitter. That's the one where I like to, see all the different Madrid blogs and pages, whether it's Managing Madrid and their whole team of journalists that I think do a great job. The Madrid Zone, Madrid Extra, Los Blancos Live, the Happy Madridista. There are so many different people there. Shout out to all of you guys that are doing an immense job of keeping tabs on everything that's going on with Real Madrid, and keeping me informed, but at the same time, keeping everyone else informed. And I do my best to occasionally go in there. So if you have a question for me, or if you have a disagreement or something, hit me up on Twitter. That's where I'm most active. Follow us on Instagram. I have my graphic designer doing different things there. Just mostly during the season, score updates, the starting 11 before the game starts. different artwork that we get done. That'll be, we'll be starting to get more active again. Also, also as we start approaching the season now, he's been off on vacation. And so once he gets back, we're going to start, you know, doing that stuff on Instagram as well. Again, continue, obviously. And that's it. I mean, really, the idea right now is to, you know, I took a break for a little bit and now I'm back with the podcast. And you can also find all the podcasts at enadamas.net. That is our website. All the episodes are there. We haven't decided with season 2021, and I'll be creating the new category for season 2021 and 2022. So you'll be able to find them there, divided up by season. So like we were saying, a lot of stuff to talk about. You know, a lot of stuff to talk about, but really it's kind of, it's funny to talk about it because it's kind of all up in the air right now. We don't have any definitive answers on anything. The only thing we know for sure is that Sergio Ramos is gone. And that's already kind of at this point, it continues to kind of be sad for many of us. And I kind of agree with it. I mean, a lot of people, a lot of Madridistas are posting, you know, him training at PSG, him wearing the shirt at PSG, looking down at, you know, looking down at his sleeve. I guess by simply habit of looking down at the sleeve and, you know, seeing the captain's armband and that not being there anymore. You know, and then him even might liking a meme where, you know, his I guess it's his youngest son pointing out the trophies that Real Madrid has and then going to PSG and saying something like, we don't have those here, or something like that. They don't have those here. And him liking that meme. So he's still a Madridista at heart. I mean, as I know some people are angry at the fact that he left. Sometimes I'm angry at the fact that he left because of, you know, the 1 year contract and, you know, the 12 million euros and everything that we heard about the reasons for him leaving and then leaving everything to the last minute. And then the deal was no longer on the table anymore. What can you say? I mean, I still love the guy. Like I said, I'm a huge fan of his, and I'm always going to have this poster on the back, you know, of Sergio Ramos and the jerseys and everything. Yeah, I mean, he's gone, and we have to start looking at the future. And the future looks sort of strange at the moment. We don't really know much about what's going to happen. I mean, we know now that Brahim Diaz is also gone out on loan again, which I think is honestly, as much as we can say, he's such a talented player and I really like him. It's interesting because I think him going on loan is a good deal. Apparently there is no buyback option, although I saw some things today on Twitter, but it's always confusing because you don't know where it's coming from, where supposedly there was an option to buy for AC Milan to purchase him for 25 million euros and then a buyback option for Real Madrid for 27 million. However, what we are seeing is that he is gone. They will, apparently it's a 2-year loan and that essentially, obviously they're going to pay his entire salary, which, you know, takes the salary off our books, which is great. And then the other thing is that we're going to get, I believe, 3 million. Or was that for the Ashraf Hakimi deal? I don't want to get things confused. But either way, it's a pretty good deal. And I think Brahim is already growing as a player at AC Milan. He did well in his first season there. They have returned to Champions League football. So it'll be interesting to see them. It'll be interesting to see how he does with the team. So we'll see what's going to happen. But I am actually happy with him. I think he needs to get the experience. I think he'll come back to us a much more solid player. And I think if he continues to show the talent that he showed at AC Milan last season, then we are really investing in a very, very good option, a player that we can have on the team. The thing is, we don't know if he's going to be getting minutes. I mean, if you know, Vinicius is still, and there's some news obviously about Vinicius, but if Vinicius does stay at Real Madrid and, you know, does potentially grow at Real Madrid, you know, there's going to be somewhat limited options for Brahim. You know, he could either play on the right wing. He can play in the middle, as they've put him sometimes at AC Milan. So we'll have to see as a midfielder. I mean, but we'll have to see what happens. But I really like him as a player, and I think it's a good deal. Now we have other things going on, which is what's going to happen with Luka Jovic. What is going to happen? You know, what is going to happen with Mariano? What is going to happen with Isco? Players that at this point we've already, you know, heard are just completely surplus to our needs. As much as I like Luka Jovic, you know, and I think if given enough time, he will shine. I don't think he's going to be on the level of I don't think he's going to be on a level of a Haaland, but I think we never really saw him get off, but there, you know, really get a chance at Real Madrid. He did get a couple of different chances to play. He didn't really impress with the minutes he had. He seems to be a player. He can't play alone. He's not like a Benzema that will drop back and try to get involved in play. And he's also not the type of player that can play up there alone if there is nobody to give him any sorts of service, which is what we were having, the issue we were having last year with our wingers, and we'll most likely continue to have unless we have somebody like Kylian Mbappe on the wing. Or we see an improvement, a great improvement from the likes of Rodrigo, who I am a fan of. I am a fan of Rodrigo, and I think I continue to see him as having potential. But unless we see, you know, improvements from Hazard, from Vinicius, you know, and it does look like, you know, Ancelotti likes to play the 4-3-3. It does look like that is, you know, just like Zidane, that is the what he is looking to play. So what is going to happen there is we're all wondering, you know, will Mbappe come? Who else are we going to bring? Who else is going to be on form? How are we going to line up? You know, there's a lot of things that are up in the air right now. And really, with everything that we're hearing, so to talk about Mbappe, we've heard, you know, that he has essentially said no to PSG multiple times at this point. The reports are saying is that he said no to PSG multiple times for any sort of renewal. A lot of the things that he's talking about in his renewal, or one of the things that he discusses as why, or that is reported that Mbappe is saying for the reasons of not renewing, is that he is not convinced with a plan for the Champions League. Now, whether that's true or not, this could be just a way of him, you know, saying that to get away from the fact that he really does not no longer want to be there anymore and really does want to play for Madrid and is waiting for us to make the final move. And by us, I mean Real Madrid, which I do not work for the club. But he's waiting for Real Madrid to make a move. We'll see what happens there. But he seems to be saying, you know, that he's not convinced with the Champions League, the plan for a Champions League run. Leonardo, the sporting director there for PSG, has, you know, look at the signings they'd made. They had Donnarumma, who just had a spectacular Euro Cup. He's only 22 years old, coming on a free from AC Milan. Sergio Ramos coming free from Real Madrid. You have Jorginho Wijnaldum. You have Ashraf Hakimi. So, I mean, you are putting in some heavy hitters there to PSG. You still have Neymar. You still have the likes of Verratti. You still have the likes of Angel Di Maria. It is a strong team. So, I really don't buy the excuse from him or the sentiment from Mbappe that he's not convinced by the Champions League proposal. I believe that he is. If everything we've heard is true, it's that he is completely interested in playing for Real Madrid. Maybe it's that Real Madrid has sold him on the idea. And maybe even Karim Benzema, you know, in all the time they spent together during the Euros, has convinced him of the idea that coming to Real Madrid, he will be essentially the next. And I'm not saying that he is as good as Cristiano Ronaldo, but he will be the next iconic player, the next iconic goal scorer for Real Madrid, the next player that the team will build around. And really, you can't say that it's that is without merit, because essentially that's what it would be. I mean, if you're going to bring somebody like Kylian Mbappe, you're going to build the team around him, you know, and essentially he's going to have somebody, like Karim Benzema to play with. He's going to have players like Toni Kroos and Luka Modric, you know, to give him, you know, to serve him the ball and give him, you know, I can only imagine Toni Kroos from midfield lobbing a pass forward like he did with Vinicius against Liverpool in the Champions League last season, lobbing one of those passes onto a, you know, right at the feet of an Mbappe that is just marauding forward with that absolute breakneck speed that he has. And, you know, Toni Kroos finding the ball to just hit him every single time on the feet and just hit on the counterattack every single time with somebody like Mbappe. To work Paredes, 1-2, you know, 1-2 passes. Not Paredes, the player from PSG, the Argentinian player. Paredes, like, you know, playing 1-2 passes with Karim Benzema, you know, to score incredible goals with Luka Modric when Luka Modric comes forward, with Casemiro, who likes to move forward, whoever, you know. But it's that idea of having him there and having him as an option. And just the fact that him being on the team, it's like we had when we had with, for me at least, for when we had Cristiano Ronaldo and you have Benzema and then you had somebody like Bale, which if Bale plays the way he's played against Tottenham and looks, you know, gets serious and plays for us the way, not to say he was the Bale of old, but to be a little bit more, I hope, you know, given a little bit more of a shot this time now with Ancelotti, possibly maybe the bad blood or the feeling that he wasn't really getting along with Zidane, or that Zidane did not want to use him. Maybe that will be calmed down now that Ancelotti is back, and maybe he'll be able to get some of the best out of Bale that remains. And if we have a front of Mbappe, Benzema, and Gareth Bale, you know, we'll see how that works out. You know, it's going to be interesting, you know. But that could essentially, for me, almost not match the BBC, of course, but it will once again be a nightmare for defenders in La Liga that are trying to cover one or the other and then leaving somebody open that will score. So if you're all going to cover Mbappe and Karim Benzema continues to play the way he's been playing, well, then you're leaving things open for a Karim Benzema that can score on you. If you are covering Benzema and covering Mbappe, you are going to be leaving things open for a Bale that we know can score when he's given the chance, you know, and that when he's playing well, he is a talented player. So the opportunities are there for something similar and at least better attacking football, better football for breaking down, you know, these teams that love to low block in La Liga when they're playing against teams like Real Madrid, which didn't serve us well, you know, which was difficult for us to play against when, you know, the idea was to, you know, just as people would like to say on Twitter, you know, the whole cross and inshallah thing idea, which is cross and just hope to God that Mbappe or somebody in the box could get on the end of it and score. But the idea that, you know, one of the things that bothered us so much about that was essentially you were lobbing crosses into the box with the thought that Benzema himself was going to be able to resolve it, or that, you know, Cristiano or Bale were going to magically appear there. With somebody like Mbappe, you know, Benzema and Bale, like, we get a little bit of more opportunities for more dynamic play, more rapid play, and kind of go back to a lot more attacking football, which is what we saw with Ancelotti, that counter-attacking football from Real Madrid can, I think, and will be something that we will see if we have the likes of somebody like Mbappe, Bale, or Rodrigo, or whoever, or Asensio running forward, although he hasn't been in best form, obviously, Asensio. But there are options there. Or Hazard and Mbappe and Benzema. Who knows what's going to happen? All I know is everything that I am dreaming of Real Madrid is contingent upon Mbappe coming this summer. And I think everything seems to be somewhat pointing in that direction, because Real Madrid doesn't want to buy anybody at this point, doesn't want to buy anybody that isn't Kylian Mbappe. That's the whole thing that we're seeing right now. And Kylian Mbappe seems to be adamant about not wanting to re-sign. I mean, when you have Al-Khelaifi going there and basically almost taking on the negotiations himself and trying to convince Mbappe and being so adamant about the fact that he's not leaving and that they want him to continue to play for PSG, then that means that there's something there. And maybe things are happening behind the scenes and being, you know, a lot of the stuff that we see sometimes in the media could always be a diversion to what is really happening. You know, what is really happening behind the scenes with trying to get him. Maybe there already are deals being made. Maybe there already are things that are being talked about and discussed. Maybe they want to keep it all under wraps until it finally does. Kylian Mbappe right now is on vacation. He's supposed to be back in Paris in, I believe, 9 days, you know. And I think a lot of it is going to have to do, too, with the movements that Real Madrid makes. I mean, Varane at this point seems almost 100%, you know, moving on to the topic of Varane, you know, that is another big story, of course, of him leaving, which it essentially, I know, is very, I would say, concerning because of the fact that two of our best center backs are you know, our center back duo for the past few years, for, you know, which was Sergio Ramos and Varane, are gone essentially in one summer. But at this point, I think what we're seeing is that Real Madrid is trying to do the best they can with what they have. We're already seeing that financially, they've been strict, and they've actually been able to pull a profit and get some profit and get some money during a season where teams were losing money left and right, during a 2020-2021 season where teams were losing money left and right and were greatly in debt, as we are seeing with Barcelona, you know, and are having all sorts of financial troubles. And Real Madrid was able to manage that. Now, some Madridistas will say, you know, is it worth it? Is it, you know, we haven't won, we didn't win any titles, the nada plete, you know, all that. And I, as a Madridista, also want to see us win. But I also believe that if I would not want to see us suffering the way Barcelona is suffering, trying to keep a player by all means necessary, having to cut a bunch of different players in order to, or, you know, allegedly have to cut a bunch of players in order to even, you know, be able to register their players, you know, their new signings such as Kun Agüero and Memphis Depay. It's crazy to me that we would get in that situation. And thankfully, we have somebody like Florentino there who, you know, I'm not going to talk about the audios and all that stuff that's come out. Well, I am going to talk about the audios and everything that's come out, but not at length. For me, it's like, I think people have to take it. I am not a defender of Florentino. I do not like the way he does business. Not the way he does business, the way he conducts himself, some of the movements he makes, his arrogance, all that kind of stuff. The way the plan for the Super League was presented, which at now seems like it was a great idea compared to what FIFA and, you know, these other, and the Champions League and UEFA is trying to roll out, seemed like, you know, it was a brilliant idea that we probably would have done better than any of this stuff that they're proposing. But truly, you can say a man ahead of his time. So what he is a good businessman. He's a good businessman. But he, you know, all this stuff that's come out with the audios and the fighting, like the comments he made and all this kind of stuff, it's almost like, I mean, you could say that the stuff he said was terrible to say about your own players. To me, it's like, it seems almost like, I mean, if that's a personal conversation that you're having with a friend and somebody's recording it, as shady as it is, but we all say dumb stuff too. You know, we all say dumb stuff in private or make jokes and you know, talk shit and stuff like that. And in this case, he's a guy that's cutthroat, you know, and at that time, a lot of these comments were made when he wasn't president of Real Madrid. It's almost like in the, you know, I was mentioning to somebody on Twitter, to a commenter on Twitter, we got into this discussion. It was basically about, you know, in the corporate world, you see this all the time. You know, a new CEO comes in or a new boss comes in, and he will absolutely, as somebody who's worked in the corporate world and works in the corporate world currently, but I've had things in the past where you would see somebody new come in, and essentially the new person that comes in will absolutely tear apart all the decisions, all of the plans, everything that had to do with the prior boss. You know, the same thing we see with the like presidencies and all that type of stuff, that, you know, they'll if they aren't in agreement with the prior administration, they're going to come in and try to undo everything, undo their legacy, undo any sort of evidence that that person was even there, just reverse it completely. And at this point, I think Florentino was trying to, and essentially toot his own horn, trying to show what he would do to make Real Madrid better. And was saying, you know, that such and such and all these other players that the former bosses had signed, or that were, you know, the stars at that time were really people that weren't as good as everyone says they were, you know. That's business. Some things are just said that way, and it sucks. And the thing is, a lot of those conversations weren't supposed to come out to light, you know? So it's not like he was saying this stuff for the public to hear. A lot of this stuff are inner workings and inner dealings that are going to happen, which, you know, a lot of these people, you know, you do business every day. Let's say these corporations do business every day with people, and they smile to their faces and everything like that. And really, they have zero like for each other, and it's all business, and they'll shake hands and they'll do what they need to do to get business done and make sure their company survives. And in this case, the club survives. But they're not being completely honest behind the scenes in their feelings. But in this case, with the conversations, they were conversations that we weren't supposed to hear. It's not like he was going out on El Chiringuito, on, you know, all these shows to basically say, you know, Casillas is a fraud, Raul is a fraud, Cristiano Ronaldo is an idiot, whatever, you know, all these types of things. If those are his personal opinions, those are his personal opinions. I mean, no one has to share them with him, and we don't have to like what he says. But I'll leave you with this thing. All the things he said, apparently, about these guys, but yet they're all employed by Real Madrid, especially like you look at Casillas, you know, employed by Real Madrid, working for the Real Madrid Foundation. You look at Raul, he is the coach of Castilla. So whatever they're dealing with, there are probably things that went on behind the scenes, probably all this dirty laundry. Some of these, we're seeing that some of these audios are from 15 years ago, or, you know, years ago, that they're not new. So a lot of these things coming out are essentially things that happened years ago. We don't even know if all this dirty laundry had aired at one point. And now it's essentially been things that maybe for many of these guys, Raul, Casillas, Cristiano, whatever, is kind of water under the bridge at this point, meaning that they have already dealt with these issues. So really trying to bring this stuff out right now is just trying to, I would say, throw a wrench into the situation, throw a wrench into Real Madrid's maybe positive situation financially, things that maybe they're trying to get Madridistas to turn on Florentino, and it doesn't seem to be working. I mean, there's a lot of us Madridistas that don't agree with a lot of the movements Florentino is making. I mean, obviously, many of you don't agree with Varane leaving, don't agree with Sergio Ramos leaving, didn't agree with Cristiano leaving. But we're seeing that essentially at some point, those guys were going to have to go. You know, at some point, those guys were going to get old. Varane doesn't, I mean, let's be real. At this point, we're hearing that Varane, everything that we've heard is that Varane no longer wants to be with Real Madrid. He wants to try a new adventure, as they say. That's what we're hearing. It's a new adventure. He wants to try new things. He's already been with Real Madrid for 10 years. You know, he wants to try a different league. He's played in Ligue 1. He's played in La Liga. Now he wants to try in the Premier League. And essentially, we're saying that, you know, Manchester United is offering him more money than what Real Madrid is offering him. And, you know, we always say, Florentino has said in the past, and even, you know, in the words of Santiago Bernabeu said at one point, you know, the player that wants to leave Real Madrid can leave Real Madrid. They're not going to keep him there. They want players that want to be on the team. And in this case, Varane is not leaving. I would say, yeah, sure, he wants to, maybe he wants to get some more money. But he has made it clear in the past that he does want to try something different. So if he doesn't want to be there anymore, is it really good? Is it really an asset? Is it really, how would I say? Is it an asset to your team? Is it good for your team to keep somebody who no longer really wants to be there? I mean, I know they're professionals, but if the morale is that he feels like he's forced to be there, then is it really a bad thing to get rid of that person or to sell that person for profit, for money? You know, in this case, to get money into the bank, as they say, 50 million at this point is what we're hearing. Between 50 and 60 million is what we're hearing for Varane. We haven't seen the final deal, but it's supposed to come through this week. Will we see that? You know, I mean, if they make that deal, you know, it's a good deal. It's money that we need if we want to buy Mbappe. And that's why I'm thinking maybe all this hush-hush that we're hearing right now, or not hearing at least, all this hush-hush, the stuff that we're not hearing right now is because Real Madrid is waiting possibly to make more money. Make that sale with Varane and then use that money to finance bringing Mbappe. We don't know what's moving behind the scenes, but I believe it is, and that is one of the pieces that they feel they need to sell in order to bring him in. Am I worried about our defense? Aside from Vallejo, I mean, I do have confidence in David Alaba. I have confidence in Militao. A great amount of confidence in Militao after what he demonstrated towards the end of the season last year. Or towards the end of the season, this season. I have a great deal of confidence in the work rate, in the dedication and passion and love for the team that Nacho has, and his ability to defend. Will he make mistakes? Of course. But Varane made mistakes too. And we, a lot of Madridistas killed him for it. I did, you know. A lot of people lost faith in him, even though he regained a lot of people's faith towards the end. This season more so than what happened, you know, obviously in the Manchester City game many seasons ago, two seasons ago. So I really don't worry so much about our defense. If Mendy gets healthy, I mean, my worry right now is our injury situation that continues. The situation with Ferland Mendy, you know, rumors are that Ancelotti is thinking about trying him as a center back. We saw him used as a center back with great effect occasionally by Zidane. It looked like he did well. He did well. It didn't look like he did well. He did very well. So the possibility of having him as a center back and David Alaba as a left back, pairing him up with Militao, seeing what's going to happen with Dani Carvajal, but we also have Lucas Vazquez back. Obviously not his favorite position, but he did a phenomenal job last season. We cannot deny it. And Lucas Vazquez has since grown on me greatly for the effort and the desire that guy puts on the pitch. Lucas Vazquez as a right back, Dani Carvajal, we'll see what happens. Odriozola looked better, obviously, towards the end of the season last season and started to look like the Odriozola that the reason we bought Odriozola. So we'll see. But I am not as worried about that defense, except for Vallejo, which I think everyone slanders and talks bad about him because, you know, obviously he's been everywhere at this point. He's been with Granada. He's been with Wolves, with the Wolves at Wolverhampton. I mean, he's been everywhere. Hasn't looked the greatest. Didn't look the greatest oftentimes with Real Madrid. So, I mean, I think he's the weakest link for sure. And we'll see what happens, obviously, with that. But he is not going to be, well, hopefully, he's not going to be a starter. And hopefully the injury situations now that, you know, Antonio Pintus is here, hopefully that's not going to happen. So we'll see. But what we're seeing right now is that the one thing that I am, and I think I mentioned it on the last podcast, the one thing that I am happy about or feeling confident in is not only do I trust, and I've always loved Ancelotti as a coach, so you're not going to catch me talking bad about Ancelotti unless we really shit the bed this season, as they say. But I've always liked him as a coach. I think the players respect him. I think he gets, you know, the respect from the players. The players, he likes to play attacking football. He is somebody who evolves and tactically, has evolved tactically over the years as well. I think he reads the game well. And not only that, but the people that he's brought in around him seem like they are very serious business. You know, Pintus coming in with this, you know, supposedly what we're seeing is that a very, very intense training regimen to get all of these players in shape, to get all of these players back to, you know, total fitness and hopefully not have recurring injuries like they did last season and that we saw so many injuries last season. But it's still taking a toll. We saw, you know, there was news this morning that Dani Carvajal is still struggling with an injury, still struggling. Could not play this weekend against Rayo Vallecano. And alongside him are Jovic, Mariano, Rodrigo, and Mendy, who are all still recovering from injuries. The most concerning, of course, are Carvajal, Rodrigo, and Mendy as potentially whether or not they can start the season. And that remains to be seen, and that is kind of the area of concern there. But as long as they're trying to get fit and as long as the seriousness around the team to try to get back to winning ways from that I'm seeing from the managerial standpoint and from the training standpoint is something that I feel confident in. You know, we heard things about Vinicius. There were rumors that there were rumors even today that Manchester United, that Real Madrid had offered him to Manchester United. How real those rumors are, I don't know, you know, because there's so much stuff mentioned all the time. But that they were offering him to Manchester United, essentially, which goes counter to the things we've heard so much of from Real Madrid, that, you know, Vinicius is untouchable, that they feel that he, that they still are confident in his potential, that it seems like the team likes the guy. They love his work ethic. I mean, Vinicius is 22 years old. He's a different player. The one thing that you can be absolutely certain that I will protect Vinicius and defend him about him is that he brings a different look to this team offensively. You know, that whole idea of being a danger going forward because, you know, he will be daring. He will be incisive in his runs. He will try. He will be go at the other defenders without fear. The fearlessness in his play makes him an asset, or made him an asset in a team that sort of got stale at many points last season, and that didn't have that attacking, didn't have that feeling that we're so used to. Of the attacking football. And he was the only one that sort of seemed like anytime he was on the pitch made a lively difference. Now, whether or not that the problem there is, it's kind of like, you know, the whole argument about possession these days, you know, what good is having all this possessions, this possession, if it doesn't bear any fruit, as in doesn't score any goals. And that's 100% true. So the thing is, the other side of the argument is, what good is all this great, you know, these great runs and these great dribbles and, you know, all these, you know, dangerous runs and daring runs that Vinicius makes, if at the end of the day, when it comes to finally finish and score, he fails, and sometimes fails badly, sometimes fails almost humorously badly, to the point that he's in front of the goal and fails to score, to the point that, you know, as we saw against Atalanta, which was a beautiful play where he dribbles through pretty much the entire defense and even gets past the goalkeeper and fails to score. Once he's done the hardest part, you know, he still fails to score. But there seems to be still a lot, and apparently there's a lot of interest from other parties. There's interest from PSG. You know, these are rumors, of course, but there's interest from PSG. There's interest from Manchester United, apparently. And there's interest from Liverpool, apparently, for the services of Vinicius. So you can't say that they don't see that this kid has talent. It's just wondering, when can we maximize it? Where can we maximize it? How long is it going to take us to finally get this out of Vinicius? He's still young. That's the thing. And the thing is, I think we get spoiled. And somebody said it great on Twitter the other day. I think we get spoiled by the fact that we have players like Kylian Mbappé and Erling Braut Haaland that are so great at such a young age that we are spoiled in thinking that a kid that is 21, 22, 20 years old has to be absolutely a world beater at this point. You know, we are used to the Cristiano Ronaldos and, you know, the Lionel Messis that, you know, from a young age, from, you know, from 19, 20, 21 years old, were already phenomenal. And the only two players that can actually match that at this point are Haaland and Mbappé. But I would say there's a lot of youngsters that are really truly promising. I mean, as much as people shit on the England team, and as much as I didn't want them to win, I really think that they have some talented players. You know, I am a fan of Marcus Rashford. I am a fan of Jadon Sancho. You know, I think those are two very talented players. You know, and they are also still young guys. We're talking about Brahim Diaz. I think he's another talented player that I think we haven't seen the last of. Martin Odegaard. You know, I there's a lot of, there is a lot of speculation. There's a lot of things saying that, we've heard that Arsenal seem to want him back. Hopefully we do not let him go. I think he is the heir to the likes of Modric and Kroos. He played fantastically when he played for La Real last season before going to Arsenal. He did have bright spots when he played for Arsenal as well. So I hope we don't let him go. I think he could do great things. I think he can do great things under Ancelotti. If Ancelotti does trust him, as they say they trust him, I think he even feels, from what we're hearing, feels confident in Ancelotti's plan and in Ancelotti's desire to use him. And that's another young guy. That is another young guy with tons of talent that I think can bring something to this team. And it could be one of those young guys that have tons of talent that still haven't hit their full potential yet. But as I was trying to get to, I think, you know, I mean, my point initially started with was, we are spoiled into thinking, like when it comes to Vinicius, we are spoiled to thinking that, you know, guys that are 20, 21, you know, have to be absolute world beaters or playing incredibly at this stage in their careers. And only few can do that. And as you can see, it's not even a handful. It's only two to three players that can do that, play at that level. And if we see a lot of these stars, Jadon Sancho, Marcus Rashford, Mbappé, in the Euros, were all knocked down. They were all knocked down a peg. They were all knocked down a peg in the sense that they all missed defining penalties for their teams that cost their teams, either moving on in the Euros or winning the Euros. So, you know, they're still young. they still don't have that experience. They still need to gain that experience. And so for all the talent that they have and that raw talent that we love and that amazing potential and all the greatness that they show, they're still going to make mistakes here and there, but that doesn't take away from the fact that they're phenomenal players. I think same thing goes for Vinicius, although it's the problem is finishing is what's so dire because, you know, Jadon Sancho will score you goals. Marcus Rashford will score you goals. Mbappe will score you goals. So those guys that we're talking about that are these young players, Haaland, of course, will score you buckets of goals. All these guys will score you goals. But Vinicius will do all of this, look flashy, have some great dribbles, go through defenders. But then where he screws it up is in the most important aspect of the game, which is, you know, scoring on your opponent. And I think that's why he gets a lot of the slander and the hate, or, you know, just not even slander or hate, but the sort of the mockery that he receives is because of that, you know, because it's without those goals, without scoring that, what, you know, if you're a forward and you can do all of these amazing dribbles, what good is it if you aren't scoring? But once again, going back to that whole transfer rumor, it seems like Real Madrid is still very, 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 you know, I would say believes in his potential. They believe that he can continue to improve. And the thing is, it's true. How mad would we be as Madridistas? Right now, a lot of Madridistas are basically kind of tossing Vinicius, the name of Vinicius, aside as he doesn't work, he's no longer good, whatever. How angry would we be as Madridistas? Which I know we would. And many that are calling for him to leave now or calling for him to sort of not be a part of this team or making a joke about his talent now would probably come out on Twitter as his defenders and as saying, no, we didn't want him to leave. What a mistake it was to let him go. We should have never let him go. And would have totally said that they were not the ones who said that they wanted him to leave if Vinicius were to leave our team and become an incredible player somewhere else. You know, we would be, I think every Madridista would be very sad to see that happen. And I think that's what probably worries some of the staff and team, you know, the management at Madrid is we don't want to potentially have this situation where we sell this guy and get rid of this guy and it comes back to bite us. That this guy ends up becoming, you know, the next big thing. Because some players mature at a different age. Some players mature like we were just talking about with all these other young guys. And then some players take until maybe they're 25, 26, 27. I mean, I'm not going to compare him to Neymar, but look at Neymar. I mean, Neymar is such a talent and has been a talent for years. But I think lately, I mean, if you see him now that he's, you know, now that he's sort of blossomed into a lot more of a mature player. He's done incredible. I mean, this last season, those two legs of against Bayern Munich and PSG were absolutely amazing to watch. The way that Neymar played, with PSG this season was amazing, was phenomenal. He looked every bit the world-class player, the phenom that we all know, or many people have touted him to be. He looked that. And it took him a little bit longer than usual to sort of, you know, the problem is, yeah, he still scored goals and has never had a problem with that and has always, you know, it's the diving and all that kind of stuff. But he's matured as a player. And some players take longer to mature to just get to kind of find their groove. And hopefully, you know, Vinicius finds his groove this season. I'm always optimistic. I think a lot of you guys that have listened to this podcast know that I am sort of always this perpetual optimist. I mean, I start seeing things here and there, and I just get excited. I get excited for the new season. And I start seeing that, hey, you know, our team isn't half bad. It isn't what everyone thinks doesn't look terrible. I mean, on paper, you have guys like I'm saying, you have guys like Bale, you have guys like Benzema, you have Toni Kroos, you have Luka Modric. Yes, they're all getting old. You have Casemiro, you have Eden Hazard. You have all these names. You have David Alaba, you have Militao, Nacho Carvajal, Lucas Vázquez. The team on paper doesn't look bad. The problem is, how will they perform? The problem is, how will they look? I mean, we expected so much from the youth player. We expected so much from the players like Asensio, Rodrigo, and Vinicius last season. And they were absolutely terrible, for lack of a better word. You know, they came up really short. Not to say terrible, but they came up really, really short of expectations. I would say grossly short of expectations. But then players, at the same time, players that at first people were saying, what are we going to do with Militao? He hasn't really shown anything. The guy was hungry to get minutes. And then when he got his chance, my God, did he show us the potential. And he's essentially right now, I think one of the reasons that guys like me, and I've seen other people on social media and other Madridistas feel a little bit more at ease, that even though Sergio Ramos and Varane have gone or are leaving, well, Varane is potentially leaving, Sergio Ramos is already gone, that we have Militao and Nacho, that we have the likes of Ferland Mendy, that we have the likes of David Alaba, who people, I don't know, it seems strange to me that people kind of hate on the fact that Alaba came when he has proven to be an incredible player for his national team, which isn't a great national team aside from him and maybe Sabitzer and a couple of other players, but has shown to be a phenomenal player, not only for his national team, but in La Bundesliga with the toughest team in La Bundesliga, which is Bayern Munich. And you could say what you want about Bayern Munich being obviously, that it being a farmer's league and Bayern Munich is always going to win, so it's easy to shine there. No, it's not. I mean, I'm pretty sure Bayern Munich is a team that is one of those teams that, to say it rudely, craps excellence. I'm pretty sure they are just as demanding, if not more so, than Real Madrid when it comes to training and making sure that every single player that comes out onto the pitch is absolutely the best player that they can have at that position. And Alaba has been part of that starting 11 for so many years, whether it was as a center back or as a left back. He has played multiple positions, and he has always shown to be, and I've always proven to be, somebody that multiple players have picked, multiple coaches have picked him, whether it was Niko Kovac, whether it was Joep Hanks, or whether it was Hansi Flick, whether it was Carlo Ancelotti. The guys have picked him and have said that he is a talented player. So to have him on our team is something that also puts me at ease defensively. It is the goal scoring. I am 100%. I might be a fanboy, but I am 100% confident in our midfield. I am confident in Luka Modric. I don't care if Luka Modric is running on the field at 80 with a cane or with a walker. The man just exudes talent. Okay, and I will always be a fan of Luka Modric. I will be his biggest fanboy. I could tell you that right now. You can't come on my podcast or you can't listen to my podcast if you don't like Luka Modric. You know, for me, that is the be-all, end-all for me of my favorite player for Real Madrid. And then that wall that we have in the midfield with Toni Kroos, Casemiro, and him is at this point untouchable until one of them just passes out from old age, which Luka Modric was pretty close to doing last season because he was the only one that seemed to be able to maintain healthy, which was crazy. But we have other players that could show this season to pick up the slack. I mean, once again, it was the youth to sort of, I guess, conclude this podcast, with everything going on, is still to talk about, the transfers and everything that's coming in and what to expect from this season coming up. I guess my conclusion is, essentially is what we need to see from this team, aside from hopefully Mbappe coming, And, you know, and obviously our defense stepping up, that we can already see they've done their job. Those youngsters like Alaba, Ferland Mendy showed up last season. Our youngsters like that came from Castilla, Miguel Gutierrez, Antonio Blanco, those guys showed up last season. You know, everyone was saying, you know, they were talented and that they had a lot of potential. And when they were given the chance to play, they showed it. So Antonio Blanco, Miguel Gutierrez, Sergio Arribas, you know, those guys showed that potential. Militao showed that potential. When given the chance, he showed it. Ferland Mendy has shown it. But the guys we needed it the most from last season was Vinicius, Rodrigo, and Marco Asensio. And those three guys, as I said before, grossly underperformed. The rest of the team performed, I think, admirably given the situation that they had with so many injuries. But where we were lacking was in goal scoring. And the only guy who stepped up was Karim Benzema, who, of course, who else would? You know, he is an absolute class player. So what we need from this team is that hopefully those guys step up this season, that Eden Hazard finds the form of old, or at least something close to it, that Bale finds the form of old, or at least something close to it, if, you know, we don't end up getting rid of these guys, which it doesn't seem like we are at this point. And if somebody like Mbappe comes, I really believe that if all those guys, all of these people are functioning to the best of their ability, if that midfield trio continues to play that way, Valverde is another player that I have utmost faith in, and he's always been very solid. Didn't have a good run with Uruguay, but the Copa America, but Uruguay just looked terrible as a whole. But when he's been healthy, he has looked solid. And then he was another one that unfortunately got hit by the injury bug and COVID last season. So with those guys, with the likes of Odegaard, with the likes of Fede Valverde backing up that midfield trio that we already know is solid, with the likes of Antonio Blanco hopefully being given a shot, with the likes of, Miguel Gutierrez, with the likes of Ferland Mendy, Alaba, all those guys, I have no worries so much about the defense in the midfield of Real Madrid. What we have to have is that those three youngsters that were so talked about, that have been so and supposedly have all the potential in the world, step up. You know, because really, aside from Benzema, the other forward that we had that did anything really worthwhile, I think, was Lucas Vazquez, and it wasn't really as a winger. It was more as you know, it was mostly in defense, substituting for an injured Carvajal. So that is our most important issue right now, is that attack. If Vinicius is firing on all cylinders and starts scoring, if Eden Hazard is scoring, if Rodrigo is scoring, if Asensio is scoring, and Benzema is scoring, we're not going to have issues. And then if you add Mbappe, if you add the dream signing of Mbappe, then I feel we have a team that can continue to compete and can challenge, because we did it. We challenged with a team full of injured and old, worn out players, full of old and worn out players, but with players that were already worn out, that are, you know, that are getting older. We did it with a team of worn out players, Castilla players. We were able to push Atletico towards the end of the tournament. We were able to make it to the semifinals of the UCL, you know. And we came up short against a team essentially like Chelsea, you know, is full of talented players and has a great coach. And, you know, we and for a lot of ways got screwed over and over again by bad officiating in our games, but at the same time suffering from injuries and trying to pull things out at the last minute, we were able to do it. So if those guys that were missing, if those missing pieces were to show up with that same team that we had last year, and we had, and like I said, we add Mbappe, which I hope, and I have a feeling that it's going to happen, then I'm not so worried. If Mbappe doesn't come, then it's going to be a disaster, honestly, of a transfer window. As much money as we save or whatever, but it's a disaster of another transfer window with nobody coming except for David Alaba, who isn't a goal scorer and who isn't someone, you know, I think the issue would be that we didn't need a we weren't as in dire need as a defender. Well, now we are, actually. We weren't as in dire need of a defender at that point as we are of somebody to start putting goals into the back of the net, balls into the back of the net that isn't Karim Benzema. So, you know, that's where we're at right now, you know, and, but like I said, once again, I am the eternal optimist. I love this team to death. And I like the things that are happening around the team. And I feel like something big is coming, guys. You know, Mbappe is coming back from vacation in 9 days, so it's going to be interesting what's going to happen with that. What is going to happen when Mbappe comes back in 9 days? What is going to happen if we sell Varane? When those movements start being made, when those our players like Kroos and Modric and Casemiro and Vinicius all come back from vacation and start playing again and start playing on the team, we're going to see things. I think we're going to start seeing how this team is going to come together for the new season. And we can be optimistic. We can be optimistic. Physical trainer. There is a new coach. There is new opportunities. It's a chance to come alive again. You know, people are reading way too much into this Rayo Vallecano tie the other day when one of the goals was an own goal from Victor Chust. I mean, they're reading way too much into it when none of our players are really in full form yet. We were missing a bunch of players, not only through injury, but because they're on vacation. It's preseason. Like, if you're reading into that, that's precisely the people hating on the team. I mean, for a preseason match that went badly is precisely the wrong way to look at things. The whole idea of preseason is to iron out details, is to iron out issues, you know, and Rayo Vallecano, that's not even a friendly. I mean, Rayo Vallecano, like, that's one team that is a rival of Real Madrid. You know, they've always disliked each other, you know. So that is an interesting game to have as a preseason friendly. We'll have to see how they do against Rangers. We'll have to see about how they do against AC Milan in the friendlies coming up. And we'll have to see how the beginning of the season starts. And we'll have to see what ends up happening with all the transfers. But I would say stay optimistic, guys. I think there's a lot of great news that is going to come out. I think we're still here. You know, there's still half of July left. You know, there's still, there's still August left. There's still so much that can happen before, you know, the players set foot on the pitch for the first time, before we head back to the Bernabeu. There's so much that can happen. And, you know, it's about, we have to be patient. And, you know, so many people defend Florentino, right? So if Florentino is essentially, you know, that amazing guy that all of us talk about, then we should really, you know, as Florentino would say, tranquilo. He said, relax, you know, relax. It's almost like he's trying to say, listen, guys, I got this. I mean, we've seen it. We might be frustrated with the way they've been doing business, but they are one of the only teams that during the pandemic has not gone down and is not in a mountain of, you know, debt, like short-term debt. You know, they have obviously debts because of the stadium and everything like that, but in a mountain of short-term debt, in a mountain of financial problems, Florentino has done a good job in that regard. regardless of what you think of him, or, you know, he could be a dick as a person, but if he's running the business well, he's running the business well. You know, if the team does well and is winning, are we really going to hate on him? You know, are we going to hate on, if Mbappe comes, are we going to hate on Florentino? Are the audios really going to make a difference whatsoever if Florentino is able to get Mbappe? If this team shapes up and does really well the next season, is anybody ever going to remember that? No. So, tranquilo, you know, as much as I don't like the guy sometimes, he does things that are pretty pretty ingenious sometimes, and I think he is good at what he does. He's a businessman for a reason. So that's it, guys. Thank you for listening to this edition of the Y Nada Más podcast. Once again, remember to follow us. You can see it right there. If you're watching on video, you can see it right there on the ticker. Y Nada Más podcast on Twitter, Y Nada Más podcast on Facebook, and YNM podcast on Instagram. So those are our three social media channels, our three social media handles. You can also check us out on the web at inadamas.net. You can also contact us at info@inadamas.net. Also, one more thing about that. If you are interested in writing for us, right now it's just me and my good friend Trombach. I'm doing the show. Trombach is writing for me. I got my good friend Carlos doing the graphic design. I'm trying to bring more people on board when one of my editors left. So sometimes I got to edit the podcast. I have another friend somebody that I occasionally pay to help me with the editing here with the podcast. But if you are interested in writing for Y Nada Más, I would love to have more people, you know, giving their opinions, articles and things like that for our website. And in addition, somebody to occasionally chat with on the podcast, you know, bring you one of you guys on, you know, if you know, there's guys that are on Madrid Zone, the guys that are in Los Blancos Live, the guys that are at what is it, Madrid Extra, wherever, you know, fellow Madridistas, happy Madridista, all these other guys interested, you know. I think this season I will call you guys up and ask you, hey man, you guys want to jump on the podcast and chat a little bit about Madrid? Let's do that. So check us out at info@inadamas.net. If you are interested in writing, check us out at that email, info@inadamas.net. Let me know. The season is getting started. We can discuss that there. And that's about it. That's about it. Make sure you comment and leave a rating on Apple Podcasts. Follow us on Spotify, blah, 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 subscribe, all that good stuff. All right, guys, thank you very much for joining me. And we'll talk next week and see what happens in this crazy world of transfers and everything before the season starts. I think there's going to be a lot of weird news and stuff like that. So talk to you guys again soon.
This has been Y Nada Más, Al Real Madrid Podcast.